Hallelujah.
Now I have the distinct honor and privilege to bring to you a man of no mean reputation, a true promoter of the gospel, the elder of everlasting, the friend of the faithful, the shepherd and the angel of this house. Receive him, Pastor T.W. Jones, with a hearty amen.
Fade away. Come on, one more time, saints, with me. Let all the other names fade away. Let all the other names fade away. Till there's only one. Let all the other names fade away. Just take your place. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I just want to praise you. I just want to glorify you, honor you, lift you up, God. Now, God, anoint this vessel of clay to speak a word, God, a word of encouragement, a word that will lift up the hung down head, a word that will mend the broken heart and set your people free. God, I pray that you would anoint me to speak your word and nothing else. I ask this in your son Jesus' name. Come on, give God the praise all over the building. Hey! Let all the other names fade away. Your place, the other names fade away. There's only one. Let all the other names fade away. I'll take your place. Amen. While you're standing, turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, the 18th chapter. Joshua, the 18th chapter. Allow me to exegete the first four verses. It is an honor to stand before God's people this morning. Truly, God has been good to me. Amen. I thank God for everything that he is doing and for everything that he's going to do. Amen. For truly, he sits high and he deals in the affairs of each and every one of us. Amen. Amen. And I'm just blessed to be here. Glad I came. Glad each and every one of you came. Amen. I thank God for all our visitors. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. It is a blessing to see new faces. Amen. It is a blessing to know that God yet sits high and does what he does. I honor my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank God for all the elders, Superintendent Mark Jones, for Elder Clyde Scarborough, Elder Sean White, for all the missionaries in Zion, Missionary Deborah Price and Missionary Katrina White, and for all those that are striving to become missionaries and handmaidens of the Most High. I thank God for our church mother, Mother Cardwell, and for Mother McCullum, and for, amen, all those that are learning and being groomed to become mothers. I most of all thank God for my wife, who in a couple weeks here, it'll be 31 years of marriage. Amen. Thank God. March 12th, we will celebrate our 31st anniversary. Amen. She's been holding up weary arms for a long time. Amen. Keeping me. Amen. Amen. Focused and keeping me. I thank God for that. If you have Joshua, the 18th chapter, starting at the first verse, the Bible says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, which had not yet received their inheritance. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, How long are ye slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? Give out from among you three men for each tribe, and I will send them, and they shall rise and go through the land and describe it according to the inheritance of them, and they shall come again to me." You may be seated. On your way down, ask somebody, what you waiting for? Amen. Ask somebody, what you waiting for? Amen. Amen. This is progress time. Amen. As the children of Israel finally begin to take possession of their inheritance, we find that there are seven tribes that for some reason have failed to receive their inheritance. The same problem exists in the church today. There are many of God's people who are living substandard lives because they haven't taken hold of the promises of God. We must recognize that when the Bible says they had not received their inheritance, what it actually means is that they had failed to drive out the enemy. Let me stop and exegete right there. People, I don't know what's inside of you that's stopping you from becoming who God designed you to be, but whatever it is, it's an enemy. In the Old Testament, there were giants, and giants always pose a threat to ordinary guys. Giants always pose a threat to shorties. Amen, somebody. That's why when you're walking around short, that's why they say God created all men equal, and Smith and Wesson made sure it happened. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's what they said. Old man Smith said, well, I ain't big as you, but I got a dog that bark right here and bite over there. He'll take care of me. Are you with me? So you got to understand the reason that they had not received their inheritance was because they had not drove out the enemies. What is your enemy? What keeps you from being who God designed you to be? What stops you from praying in the morning? What keeps you from studying? What stops you from making A's and you just a C student? What is it? I'll tell you what it is. It's an enemy called average. Everybody want to be in the middle of the pack. Everybody just want to add, well, I don't want to be the brightest kid in class. I just want to sit somewhere in the middle. But let me give you some good advice. Anytime you in the middle, anytime you in the second row, you never get a clear view. You get a rear view. Are you with me? I know that don't make sense to some of y'all, but if you standing in front of me, all I get is the rear of your back of your head, back of your shoulders, back of your tail end, a rear view. Somebody need to make, that's why I try to convince young folks to stay out the herd, be an individual, be who God called you to be. You can't be like everybody else and be famous. You might be infamous. It was an evident fact that their land, though promised to them by God, was inhabited by people who opposed their right to the land. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is not just going to fall in your lap. Amen. A new job is not just going to knock on your door. Say, hello, I'm your new job, come. Well, how much you want to make? That kind of stuff don't exist. There's giants, there's study habits, there's praising, there's worship, and there's praying, and there's fasting, and there's things that you got to do to accomplish what God would have you to do. Why did I say the enemy was average? Because folks just want to be average. I just want to be an ordinary guy. Well, God didn't call you to be ordinary. I read in my Bible, he said, I will praise the Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about God said that. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I didn't say I was, because if I, you know, I might tell you anything. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. But the Bible said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully. I knew you from your mother's womb. I know the plans that I have for you. I know how I want to treat you. I know how I want to put my arms around you and comfort you. I know how I designed you.
Yes, sir.
With greatness in mind. And why does God do things like that? I'll tell you why. So that he can get the glory. Folks can see you one day and they say, oh, he ain't nothing. But the next time they see you, you're full of God. You're full of something that they ain't never saw before. And I don't care how bad they thought of you before, they can watch you rise. Amen. That's how God works. Listen, y'all got to catch this concept. Folks that knew Jesus, you know what they knew? He ain't nobody but the carpenter's son. They ain't nobody but Joseph and Mary's son. He ain't nobody but a carpenter's assistant till he start healing the sick, till he start raising the dead, till blind eyes start seeing. Now all of a sudden. See, this is why I have to make sure y'all get this. Stop waiting around for somebody to pat you on your back. Pat yourself on your back. Tell yourself that God designed you to be somebody more than you woke up this morning. So, verse 3 says, how long are ye slack to go possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers have given you? You got to catch this. Slack, how long will you be so lazy that you won't accomplish what God asks you to accomplish? Most of us sitting here had parents. And I don't know what kind everybody had, but I know that I had a mother and father who would get out of bed. Their head could be hurting, their feet could be hurting, and they'd go to work anyhow. Amen, somebody. So I watched, you know, I imagine it had to be because I'm his son. And, you know, I've been getting up with backaches and feet aches and headaches and arm aches. And, you know, I done slept the wrong way. And I done had a crook in my neck half the day. But guess what I did? I checked in when I was supposed to be there. Why? Because a charge I have to keep. God blessed me with 2 children. And I didn't want them to think that the easy way out was the way to get somewhere. Do you not know that the Bible says, seeing that we are surrounded by such a greater cloud of witnesses? Folks watching you. A great, and not just 1 or 2. You don't realize how people are watching you, especially when you tell them that you go to church and you dance and shout. Folks is looking to see how you act. See, about your integrity. Okay, you got the dancing and the shouting, but do you tell the truth? I'm just saying, because average folks, they're lying now and then. So God had given it to them. And the fact of the matter is, Joshua's asking them, how long are you going to hang back, put off, possessing your inheritance? Now, you got to understand something. If somebody give you something, it's a gift. What do you have to do to get a gift? Receive it. Open it. You know what? I found some stuff in my basement. We gave our little boy a rocket when he was 8 years old. Well, that little boy is 29 now. That rocket's still in my basement. It still got the plastic on it. It ain't never been opened. Yes, he took the wrapper off Christmas morning and never took the time to shoot that rocket off. He never received the rocket. Thus, it's still in my house. Some of us have been given gifts. This thing on from God. And it's still sitting in God's house when it ought to be in your house. Are you with me? The land had been given to them by God. It was their responsibility to do whatever they had to do in order to take possession of it. Joshua was asking them, how long are you going to hang back, do nothing, watch everybody else get blessed, and put off your inheritance? How long were you going to be lazy, self-preserving, fearful, and unwilling to engage the enemy to take the land? Anything worth having, worth the fight, come with it. Any married folks in here? Anybody in here that's married? Were you told no once? No, I'm for real. You asked them to marry you and they said no. Anybody ever go through that? Oh, I'm the only one. Don't worry. All right. I'm the only one. Well, forget that. I ain't get told no once. I got told no 3 times. Does that mean something to me? No. That just meant that the way I asked her the first time wasn't the right way to ask her. The second time, probably, you know. And you know what I found out? her nose meant nothing to me. That's her business. I work, I want you. You don't want me. That's your business. But I ain't giving up because what I want, I want. So I know what I'm talking about. Things of God, people have, they slack. But when they really want something else. Now you know, Pastor, that new Mercedes, I don't care if I got to work all day, all night. I don't care if I got to be a zombie to get it. That's what I'm going to do. Folks will kill themselves over something that depreciates in value as soon as you drive it off the lot. But when it comes to the things of God, the things that's going to make you a better person, the things that'll make folks recognize you, it requires something. Because the enemy ain't just giving up stuff. By inheritance, the land belonged to him. You got to catch this. They were Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's biblical. They must forcibly take possession physically of what was theirs legally. Now, I used to be a landlord. Every now and then, folks wouldn't pay. Go through the process, and then I had to physically remove folks out what legally I owned. The sheriff show up, then you out there sweating, putting in sweat equity, putting stuff on the side of the road, right? But did I own the house? Amen, I did. But physically, do you not know that when God gives you something, the devil ain't sitting out there on the curve, chain smoking, crying because God gave you something? No, he's trying to keep you from getting it. Yes, sir. Every now and then, we come and we get in line and say, I got a pain in my body, and God, I need you to take it away. Now, I don't know how y'all work, but when I get in the prayer line, I believe God for what God's going to do, and I just trust him. And even if I'm still feeling it, I'm walking back to my seat in expectancy that this thing got to go. Why? Because I trust God. They were slack to take possession of what was theirs. We find this same scenario in the church world today. The word of God is rich with God's promises towards the children of God. We are also by faith the seed of Abraham, and we're the heirs of the blessings of Abraham. Galatians 3:13 through 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You got to believe God's word. You got to believe God's word. You know, as bad a kid as I was, my mama used to look at us, and I used to think she was a comedian or something, because she'd be like, boy, you're saved. And I'm like, I don't think so. Boy, you got Jesus in. I don't know about all that, Mom. You you speak with forked tongue or something. I don't know. But see, to her, she said, I've already asked God to wash and cleanse you and make you a man of God, and ain't nothing you can do about it. Are you with me? And see, the problem is that when you're not serving God, the person that you are serving is doing everything he can to kill you. Don't miss this. The devil, the Bible distinctly says that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I don't know about y'all, but I don't need no friends like that. I don't need no enemies. I'll steal, kill, and it. Look, I got to watch you from stealing stuff. I got to, and everything you can't steal, you try to destroy. I can't steal from them, so I lie on them. Character, assassinate them. Kill, steal, and destroy. And everything, and then and when he finally just blow everything up. ain't trying to be around that kind of nonsense. I don't know about y'all, but you got to come to grips with when it comes down to it. There's things that God has equipped us to have and to be, and you got to come to grips with, am I willing to put in work to get it? But as it was then, even so is it today, there are enemies to us possessing our inheritance, and we must be willing to fight for what's legally ours. Where I get that from? I got it from the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 12th verse. And from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent taketh by force. The enemy ain't chain smoking because you got saved. He ain't chain smoking because one of your children got saved. I thank God for my two children. I thank God I only had two children. Praise God. Because even though they're good children, they're children. Are you with me? And the church. And you know what I found out about God's children? They resemble regular children. The Bible says in a great house, there are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor, some of wood, some of stone, clay, some of gold and silver. There are many vessels, and they go from popsicle sticks to gold, silver. So in a family, in God's house, there are many vessels. And the scripture declares that we have to let the wheat and the tares grow together. But my question to you today is, what you waiting for? Exactly. Make a decision. Choose ye this day whom you want to be. Stop letting folks tell you that you ain't everything God designed you to be. It's a personal decision. You know, in the natural, I had no option whether I was going to be 7 foot or whatever. I had no option of how tall I was going to be. Are you with me? But in the spirit, are you with me? In the natural, there is no option. I grew and then I stopped growing. Didn't matter that I got three brothers about 6 foot tall, 1'6", 3", but I grew, got 5'8 3/4" and went, hey! Stopped. That's the natural. But in the spirit, if I want to grow and glow like a forest blaze, God will give me the ability to get as big in the spirit. One reason many of God's people are cheated out of their inheritance is because they don't know what belongs to them. They're unfamiliar with the will. Just let me tell one of y'all that somebody died and left you something in the will. If there's ever been an appointment you was going to be at, you going to make it there. I don't care if it's snowing Cadillacs. I don't care if it's raining boulders out the sky. You're going to be dodging rocks to get to the inheritance meeting so you can find out what the person left you. Are you with me? Somebody said, well, you in the inheritance. You might want to be there. Now, they might have only left you a pet rock. You don't know. But until you find out the expectancy of what they left, got you fired up. But you got to know the will. You got to know what the will says about you. You got to know what God says that in Hosea 4:6, the word says that my people suffer from lack of what? Knowledge. Another reason is we are just plain slack. Slowful, lazy, unwilling to have to fight for it. We give in to the enemy called average. Why am I saying there's an enemy called average? You know, when the praise team be up here, and you know what I found out? That the best hands to be clapped is at the end of my arms? Come on, somebody, walk with me. that the best feet to dance is at is right up on the top of my shoes. See, you got to come to grips with this thing. It's up to you to give God the glory. It's up to you to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt. Nobody has to inform me that I got to praise him, because praise will get you out of a pit that you never would know how to get out. But if you praise God, God will design a way to get you out. The Bible talks about a young man named Daniel. He had every excuse to throw in the towel. Why do I say that? Well, first of all, he dreamed a dream. Joseph dreamed a dream, right? I'm talking Joseph. I'm sorry. He dreamed. Then his brothers got upset with the dream, threw him in a pit. Well, he could have gotten in the pit and threw a pity party and said, well, I guess this dream will come to naught. But you know what? It didn't stop there. The Ishmaelites came, and one of the brothers, Reuben, snatched him up out the pit. Reuben, that word means praise. Y'all know that? Pulled him up out the pit, got that young man, and sold him. Made some money. It only gets worse. Then he's, you know, he in Potiphar's house. He's in a house. He's doing all right. He's serving. You know, he's doing stuff. Then all of a sudden, he in prison for doing the right thing. If anybody had an excuse to throw in the towel. But you know what? He stayed in prison. And here's what I know. Here's what I know. Wherever he was, God blessed him. Wherever he was, in his master's house, the house was being blessed. And the master knew that because of him, he was being blessed. So he went from a pit to prime minister. Second under the king, they called it Anat. There was one person above him, the king. He got a ring that sealed. The rings basically said the king said it, even though it was him saying it. Whatever he said, that's what they did, because the king figured out that everything he do, God blessing it. Now, I don't know how y'all feel about this, but if somebody who been through all that, family rejecting him, boss that he was blessing, got him put in prison. And then from prison, after he helped the man out, he still had to wait some years to get out. Saints, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. I know it can get tempting to cheat. It can get tempting to lie. But if you stand on God's word and believe his promise, your integrity will rise you up. See, God has a way of preparing us in secret. Y'all know that? He has a way of preparing us in secret to openly bless us. Y'all know that? I got scripture to show you. If you turn in the book of Luke and you look where Jesus was at the wedding, and what happened is Jesus told him to bring in some water pots. Let me make this clear to you. The water pots Jesus used wasn't what you're supposed to drink out of. Jesus didn't tell. Now, you got to understand what was going on in this scenario, because they already had water at the party. They was out of wine. And he asked him for something we already got. And they didn't have faucets like we got. They probably had to make a trip to go get what he asked for. And he told them to bring pots. They brought bathtubs. Y'all better hear me. He had, you know, aren't you glad that God don't tell everything in advance? If Jesus had a tongue, go get me them bath pots. Ain't nobody drinking wine that come out of the pot that we wash feet in. God have to prepare us in secret. You got to come to grips with the way God do things. And you know what? God don't expose us. Some folks mess up. Aren't you glad God ain't put your business all in the street? Aren't you glad that before you came to Jesus, everything you ever done, that he didn't just put you on blast? I don't know about y'all, but there's some stuff that's in my past, and the past done passed. It's past. It's dead. I ain't got time to be talking about yesterday, because the Lord thy God healed me today. And aren't you glad God will wash you and cleanse you and take something dirty? And the man at the man said, look here, y'all, when men are well drunk, then they pull out Richards. They pull out Morgan. They pull out Thunderbird. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. When Joker's done already been a little buzz, then all of a sudden the cheap vineyard, bottom of the shelf, made in the back room, then they putting that out. But he said they saved the best. Came from a dirty pot. Came in secret. He had to do a secret preparation to get the wine to him. Because I'm just, I don't know about y'all, but I ain't drinking no wine out of bathtub. No, we ain't drinking that. So we got to come to grips with how God does things. And let me make this clear to you. God, y'all got to catch this, because everything that the saints need, God has provided. Listen, I don't need a college degree in heaven. I need it here. Does that make sense to anybody? I don't need a job in heaven. I need one here, right? I don't need healing in heaven. Here. Amen. So the things that we work for down here, they're temporal. But if God's giving them to you, get it.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no sense being second class. Dream big. Your creator's bigger. There's no problem that he's not bigger than. There's no headache that he can't heal. And some of us have come to grips with this. I got a few more things I need y'all to see. We need a clear vision of that which is ours in Christ, or our inheritance. Listen, how many in here kids will pick up the phone and ask you for some outlandish stuff? Man, y'all blessed. My kids think I'm Rockefeller, but I'm not. I ain't even Pebble fella. I ain't even a hundred there. They'll pick up the phone like I am, though. You know why? Because they realize the Bible says that you being evil, if your child asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone.
That's right.
If he asks for fish, you're not going to give him a scorpion.
Yeah,
he realized that because there's some bloodline. It's hard to tell yourself no. You know, the kids tend to look just like you. You be looking at them, man, I want to say no. But I really do. But you got to come to grips with this. The God that we serve, he's waiting on us to possess what he's given us. Listen, your neighbors, I used to ask myself, I don't know why my neighbors act the way they do. And then I was in church one day and the lady said, have you ever witnessed to your neighbors? Maybe they don't know they possessed. Maybe they don't have any idea of how to really act. So what the devil wants to do is try to convince us that what God has already blessed us with is not worth fighting for. How many heard the term, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence? Well, let me give you a good nugget. You might want to write this down. The grass on your side of the fence is your responsibility. You might want to write that one down. Because the grass in my neighbor's yard ain't my responsibility. So if his grass greener than mine, I need to deal with my grass. Water. Fertilize it. Rake it. cut it sometimes. Amen. And you, well, you know, them women at work smell better than, well, you go buy some better perfume. Stop buying Lady Stutzen. Amen. Yeah, well, you know, every time I go to work, they made up. Well, then go get us some real makeup. Take it to the shop. You know, I can't stand going, but I go every now and then. And I have to sit and wait, and they'll poof and powder your face. And Joker, listen, I done heard a whole bunch in counseling. Well, Pastor, you know, when I get to work, man, they just be smelling good. And I said, well, I got a question. What kind of perfume you buy your wife? Brother, it's taking you too long, because I remember every one I done bought, because the price be. You can't smell like Chanel and you bought Channel. Amen. I don't care what that thing say. If you like this, you'll love our brand of this. They lying. It might smell like it when it first come out, but before it get to their skin, it's done dissipated. If you like poison, you'll love our brand of oison. It's about a 2-minute lifespan. Baby, I can't smell it. You got to submerge yourself in it. So, you know, we got to start what's in your fence, what God has blessed you with. That's what you need to subdue and take authority over, what God has given you. Why? Because when you're faithful over the little things, when you're faithful to what God has blessed you with, God will open the doors wider. How do I know that? How in the world can a community organizer become president of the United States? Faithful over little things. You just do what you do the best you can do, because the Bible tells us that your gifts and callings will bring you in front of kings and dignitaries. You impress them, and they, hey, come here, young man. Let me talk to you. Something you just said make me want you on my team. Why do I want you on my team? Because you ain't got to be smart to be in charge. Y'all know that? I was in the U.S. Air Force, and trust me, I used to think, how in the world did this guy become my boss? Because he been there longer than me. And I'm thinking, he don't know how to fix this plane. Why in the world does he make more money than me? Because he got more stripes than me. Because he stuck around and paid his dues. And you, Johnny, come today. And because you think you smarter than him. But here's what he would do. He was smart enough to make me go fix it. And then he would sign the paperwork. He wasn't that dumb. He was smart enough to let me do the job. And then he take the credit. And then I go, yeah, well, Staff Sergeant Malone, he took care of that plane last night. I'm thinking he ain't did nothing. I told one of my boys, I fix it. Well, it say Malone right here. Amen, somebody. But see, where we fail to realize is you just keep doing what you're doing. Because here's the bottom line. Folks that really know what they need done, this is why folks that do what God asked them to do in the church seem to be overworked, because the faithful get worked. Because when pastor needs somebody to do something, he has to call a person that he know going to do it. And he's like, why they always call on them? Because I don't need a half-hearted part-time, I see you when I see your job done. I need it done. Are you with me? So I ask you, what are you waiting on? Are you waiting for something to fall in your lap, or are you waiting to embrace what God has given you? When you come to church, there ought to be an air of expectancy. I'm expecting God to bless my heart, to touch me, to give me the ability to walk out this door into the greatest witness field that he's ever made out these doors. And right outside this door is the greatest witnessing field you're going to experience. You ain't got to go overseas to find demon-possessed folks. You ain't got to go overseas to find folks that's brokenhearted, downtrodden, and in trouble. All you got to do is open your eyes, look around you, and there are people that God wants you to bless. God wants you to be there for. God wants you to do things for. Some of us don't even have to leave. We can go home. How in the world, do you know what I find? I was looking, and what I noticed is that Joshua went to them. The people didn't go to Joshua and say, Joshua, give us our inheritance. You know why? Because they already had been given it. And Joshua went to them because he was saying, how long you going to not take what God gave you? In other words, what y'all waiting on? Five other tribes have already went, and they over there eating grapes clusters so big that it take two men to carry. The Bible said the land was flowing in milk and honey. I don't know, but milk come from animals. And for milk to be flowing, that mean it was plenty animals. Cows, goats, something that produce milk, right? And honey. Listen here, saints. Honey is sweet. You know what that tells me? That God is saying, look, the land over there, you can go over there and eat the fat and drink the sweet. That's what he was telling them. And how long are you going to wait when you're watching your brothers get blessed, when you're watching your friends go through the fire and make it out? Mm-hmm.